Rock the Casbah. All right, y'all, I'm sorry. The sound's going to suck on this one. I'm driving on the 10 freeway. Joshua Tree back to L.A., baby. It's what it is. Forgive the audio regalia, lack thereof. Two-thirds of the fucking world doesn't have plumbing or running water. I repeat, about two-thirds of the world doesn't have, like, you could take a shit in the toilet and wipe your ass. So think about that next time you're complaining about you don't have aloe wet wipes. The amount of fucking privilege that us Americans have, and us especially, like, white, this is white Jewish guilt because I'm white and Jewish. Can you imagine the rest of the world when us white American people in LA are like, oh no, do you have anything without cheese and bread? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, the fact that we have the option to have a diet that allows us to be like, oh, I'm gluten, I can't have gluten, it makes me... Fucking kidding me? Two-thirds of the world doesn't have plumbing, running water, sanitation. And you want to sit around and talk about politics like you know anything. I'm completely done. Nobody knows anything. All you're doing is regurgitating either one of the two sides of fucking the mainstream media or a goddamn conspiracy theory off the internet. And you haven't seen with your eyes anything. You're just seeing what's been shown to you. So nobody knows shit, and that's all anybody's talking about is that they know. Shut the fuck up. Nobody knows a goddamn fucking thing. How about that? Huh? Okay, that radio station isn't coming in too good, but that's all part of the fucking experience. Let's find something. Ooh, I was in the South. That's how you know you're old, is when you listen to, like, new rap music and you have no idea who it is and what the fuck they're saying. Okay, same with TikTok. I'm 46 years old. Never been married, don't have any kids. I might as well be on TikTok dancing around. Might as well. Fucking TikTok. That's what's going on right now. There's TikTok stars, I heard. Like, it makes Vine seem like a classic movie. I mean, everything is completely, like, all I do is drive from Joshua Tree to L.A. back and forth. This is my new life. And this isn't a complaint. It's a rant. It's an observation. If you would have told me when I was younger, at 46 years old, I would be commuting. And this is a blessing. Oh, my God, I'm not complaining. I bought a tiny little house in Joshua Tree that's quite humble, that would be considered a middle-class income house. And I fucking somehow luckily got a room I can rent occasionally in Los Angeles for very cheap. So I'm going back and forth between LA and Joshua Tree, hanging on to a dream like fucking Manchester Douglas, right? No idea what's there's no guarantee for anything. And all it is options. That's the problem. We got too many fucking options. We all do now. When I was young, oh, back in my old days, you used to have a fucking, there was four cute girls at your school, there was three restaurants to choose from, and you had five albums you listened to. Nowadays, you have infinite fucking music at your disposal. You go online and you scroll through women like fucking Objecto De Laurento, and then you fucking have food options up the wazoo that you go on your phone and pick one of 77 types of international food. Everything's too easy, there's too many options. And I think the over option factor gives you anxiety, because they tell you, and I don't know this because I don't have kids, but when you have kids, you don't say to your kid, hey, where do you want to go to eat? You tell the kids where you're going to eat, or you give them a choice of two options. You want McDonald's or Burger King? And those are bad examples. You wouldn't eat there, but you get what I'm saying, right? So check it out. The kid's going to have anxiety because he has to pick, or she, any child has to pick. So where do you want to eat? It adds a layer of anxiety to the child, and later preconceived conditions that manifest later in life. All right. So now what we're talking about now is, as adults, we got too many options. We're constantly in this, oh fuck, I don't know, Cheesecake Factory, 562 options. Oh, how do I even be? Give me a menu with seven options, I'll pick something good. And then I'll still have wanted something else when the table comes. The table's already there. When the food comes and your friend ordered linguine palomero and you fucked up and got the scampi and you're sitting there looking at his plate like fucking starving Don, then you understand. I don't know what I'm talking about is the point. All right? I have no fucking clue what's going on, but I'm going to put on satellite radio because I'm just driving again back and forth like a zombie fucking... I'm driving into COVID zombie world from fucking utopia isolation world. I live in the middle of fucking nowhere, and then I go into the fucking worst hellscape on the planet, Los Angeles. Driving into hellscape with just abundance of COVID and problems... Going back in because I have to work for 2 days. And I'm not complaining, it's an observation. And I just go back and forth in my Subaru like a divorced housewife, only I've never had kids or been married. Therefore, I'm fucking, I'm like a never-ending a Donatello Versace. I should have been gay. I wish I was gay. It would have been so easy. It would have been so easy. A gay dude's got it the best. I was standing there with my friends. We're all on a snowboard trip. We're sitting around with my homies. We're all snowboarding. I rented a cabin. And I was just like, how dope would it be if we were gay? We'd all be sucking each other's dicks right now. That should be crazy. But no, doesn't happen. Not yet. I'm just so fucking... I feel like if I have to watch the news for one more second and red and blue and just how everybody thinks they know, I'm gonna slap my own face through the fucking Mariel Hemingway's front doorstep and land at the curb like fucking Pablo Vespucci. Because that's where we're at with it right now. Is this thing even recording? I mean, this is just insane. I'm just nothing but red taillights back and forth. Joshua Tree, LA. What am I doing? I sold my fucking house in Laurel Canyon. I moved to the beach and lived in an apartment where there's fucking just full crime right outside my door. Like fucking real shit. Like LA in the 90s is what it's like right now. The crime is fucking off the chain. And I'm just like, yeah, let me just go into that for a while. And I'm not saying I have a choice. I'm going to work. But the point is this. That's my life. Just seriously on another planet. It's like Mars. It's like a deserted island, Mars, spaceship house with no one around. And you start going a little fucking kooky. You start like, you could see how you could go kooky out there. And this is like with the phone. I could get on the phone and go online and communicate and call people, whatever. Imagine if you're really isolated. I am an overstimulated fucking product of the environment. And that's another weird thing about living out in the desert. Is that my whole life I've lived within 10 miles of an ocean. San Francisco, New York, LA. All those places I lived my whole life, you could drive to the beach pretty quickly. And you get that ocean air, Pacific or Atlantic. You get the ocean air. There's something about being by a body of water. I don't know if a lake is the same, but being by an ocean definitely does something. It makes you more chill, right? LA's not chill, or San Francisco, but there's exceptions. But there's something about being by an ocean still. So now I'm in the desert, fucking hunting rattlesnakes, rescuing rattlesnakes from being killed. Killed a rattlesnake. There's mountain lions. I found a dead fox in my driveway. I had to bury it the other day. I mean, shit is just crazy. Constantly catching all these mice and rats and gotta let them go. It never ends. I'm out in the wilderness and I'm just a city slicker and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. But you got to go outside your comfort zone. You know, you can't just stay in your perfectly air-conditioned little box in a metropolis river. Or maybe you can, but I couldn't do anymore. So this is a slow, gradual getting back to nature, midlife crisis situation that's happening here. So fuck the news. Fuck it all. How does it affect my 15-mile radius? In LA, I guess it's a little bit... everybody fucking thinks they know shit, and... Everyone wants to be right. That's the other problem. Everyone has to be right. No, I told you, I'm 14 years old still. I'm 46, but I'm 14. No, I was right. I told you I was right. Nuh-uh, I told you. See, I told you I was right. Nuh-uh. You want to play video games, smoke weed? I'm 46. You want to play video games and smoke weed? Come over, bro. I got the new Call of Duty. I'm 46. Get the fuck out of here. That's why I quit smoking weed. Fucking, there's nothing sexy about smoking weed with gray hair. Unless you're real old. I think there's like a middle phase, like, you know, 35 to 57, no weed. But then when you're like old Willie Nelson, okay, you could pull it off. But yeah, man, it feels like the party's over. And maybe that's all right. My life was a very long, fun ride, mostly having fun, not as much work. And party's over, which is, I just miss going out and having a good laugh with your friends. And, you know, I'm not even a drinker, but go have a couple cockies, that's a drink, cocktail, and fucking laugh. And I've said this before, I had a doctor tell me, I'd rather you go out and drink once a week with your friends and get drunk, as long as you don't drive or smoke cigarettes or do drugs when you're drunk. You'll live a longer, happier, healthier life if you go out and let loose once a week with your friends and drink. Your cortisol levels will go down. So you gotta go have fun, baby. But nobody's having fun. Not really. If you do, it's like, ooh, clandestine fun. And I was shooting this movie and we had a party scene when everyone got tested for COVID and we had a fake party. And I was like fake drunk walking around, fake cigarette, fake bottle of alcohol, pretending to be faded. I was like, even this is fun. Even this is like, feels like something. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's online therapy. This is exactly what I'm talking about in this episode. We all need somebody to talk to. I know I do. I know that inner dialogue that goes in my head sitting around during a pandemic when you're quarantining can, you know, make you feel a little kooky sometimes. So I think it's very important to talk to somebody to get help. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. All right. So seriously, think about this, guys. This is therapy you could do from your home. What interferes with your happiness? You could talk about it. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, there's a lot. I sit around and I overthink things. Sometimes it'd be nice just to talk to someone. We need to connect. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient. You can start communicating in under 24 hours, and it's not self-help, it's professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in one of those uncomfortable Woody Allen type chairs that you see in all the movies where you got to lay there and talk to your therapist as he's sitting there judging you. No, this isn't going to happen here. Okay. This is from the convenience of sitting on your own couch. You can even do it standing up if you want. I mean, look, to be quite honest, you could do it from the toilet, although I wouldn't recommend that. You know, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Getting a therapist is like getting a new pair of shoes. Sometimes you got to try a few on to find the right one that fits. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. The service is available for clients worldwide. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. Licensed professionals are counselors who specialize in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships. We all need help with that one. Sleeping. I need help with that one. Trauma, anger. I need help with that one. Family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. These are all things that we all need to address and talk about. And anything that you share is confidential. It's convenient, it's professional, and it's affordable. All right. So listen, this is not a crisis line, guys. This is just somebody to talk to. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Okay, so I want you guys to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Rex. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rex, R-E-X. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, it's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Rex. Do some of that self-work. Love yourself. I love you. This episode of Nervous Rex is brought to you by Shaman Ramen. Oh, baby, am I excited about this one. Two of my friends created the first adaptogenic superfood ramen, and boy, is it delicious. If you live in the Southern California area, you can go ahead and get it at Erewhon, but pretty soon it's going to be available all over. Look, it's an immune booster. It has 7 adaptogenic mushrooms. It's got anti-inflammatory ingredients, vitamins A and C, non-fortified nutritional yeast, soy-free, miso, 100% organic and plant-based. But the best part about it is it's sexy. And girls and guys love it when you're sexy because you're looking good and you're feeling good and you're slurping on some delicious, nutritious love. I'm telling you, there's lion's mane in it. There's cordyceps, reishi mushrooms. Is it reishi or reishi? Either way, there's a whole bunch of mushrooms, some that I can't even pronounce. But basically, long story short, it's the world's first adaptogenic superfood ramen. conscience, convenience in a cup. And right now, let's be honest, we're all sitting around. We got nowhere to go. We're in a pandemic, so what better time to sit around and get healthy and just spend as little time as possible cooking? It's a win-win because I'm lazy. I just want to eat healthy and I don't have time to be messing around. So for all you guys out there, please, you must go to shamanfoods.life and check out this product. It is so good. Or you could go to Shaman Ramen on Instagram and check out the regalia. Guys, I'm telling you right now, this is a delicious treat. I back it. I just had one, and it's slurpy, delicious treat. I love you guys. Phone even fucking on? Jesus Christ. I'm just driving a Subaru on the 10 freeway again. I put more miles. I've already put 12,000 miles on this car in a cumulative amount of probably, well, I've had the car since I moved to Joshua Tree in February, but at half the time I've been gone. I've put a lot. Usually you put on 10 to 12,000 miles a year. I put in 3 months of driving 12,000 miles because I'm just zippity-doo-dah back and forth. My therapist told me, he's like, you need to slow down. I'm like, tell me something I don't know. This is what I'm paying you for? Jesus Christ. Got an espresso machine at my house. That doesn't help. Man. I miss being on tour with Beardo and Legacy and Mickey. I don't know if anyone listening is fans of the Dirt Nasty shit, but oh my God, that might have been the funnest time of my life. Seriously, I did some really cool shit in my life. I'm a fucking humble narcissist. I have had the best life. I fucking got to be a fashion model, right? I got to go live in Europe and Milan, and Milan's in Europe, and London and New York, and just be doing runway shows around the beautiful people and dinners. And then I fucking got a job for MTV, and I was a VJ, and I'm fucking doing MTV interviewing Madonna and Howard Stern. I'm dropping names. And then fucking MTV led to fucking me doing TV and film, because Gus Van Sant, the dopest director, saw me on MTV and said he wanted me for a movie for Good Will Hunting. And I went and auditioned for it, and I did so bad I had to read with Matt Damon, and Matt Damon's looking at the floor like smiling because my audition was so bad because I'd never acted before. And then Gus Van Sant cut me off. He said, you know what, Simon, you got something, but that was a horrible audition. You're not ready to be an actor, but I'm sending you to an acting coach. And he sends me to an acting coach. And then, okay, I'll do this. So I fucking do this. All right, fucking theater classes in New York, fucking serious actors and shit. I start booking a couple TV shows and movies. I moved to LA. I'm working on fucking WB sitcom, Amanda Bynes, What I Like About You, Jack and Jill, Felicity. You don't even know, half of you even know what the WB was. This is like 90s, or late 90s, early 2000s. I date Jamie Presley, beautiful actress. We fucking a fucking celebrity couple. Fucking, this is before social media really even popped up. Because I remember we'd land at the airport, and before 9/11. Because when we'd land in the airport, there'd be fans waiting at the gate for me and Jamie to take pictures, but it's really about her 97%. And then as an actor, you got a lot of downtime. So even if you work, let's say you work a lot as an actor, you're working 6 months a year. Okay, yeah, that's 6 months off a year, and that's a lot work. That's a lot work. So what do you pick up a hobby? Start making beats, right? Start making beats and freestyle, rapping with my friends. My boy from prison, who's been in and out of jail, who's also a male model, is always in and out of prison, and he fucking was out. He's staying with me. He's like, I got these dudes that rap. You need to meet them because I made beats. I don't want to meet them. They didn't want to meet me. It was Mickey Avalon and Andre Legacy. We hit it off. We start making music. Interscope signs Mickey. Next thing you know, we're on tour with the goddamn Red Hot Chili Peppers opening up. Like, you fucking kidding me? What's going on? We're just fucking around in my spare bedroom having fun. And then next thing you know, Dirt Nasty, my character, is born because I was rapping on my dick with Mickey Avalon. Then ensued, and mind you, at this point now, I'm 30 years old, okay? So I'm already should be having a wife and kids, right? But instead, at 30, I'm fucking just starting a rap career. I'm like, all right, I'll try this. I'm just fucking around. I didn't even ask for it. It happened. Next thing you know, we're on tour, selling out shows across the country, parties every night. I'm like, dude, this is gnarly. Like, this should have happened when I was 21. And we've been doing it for 15 fucking years. obviously in the latter years, after you get in your late 30s, you can't party like you used to. So you're looking at the tour schedule. It's like, all right, we got Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Columbus. All right, I'm going to drink in Chicago, and then I could not drink in these two, Cleveland and Columbus. I won't drink. You get what I'm saying. Here we are a year almost into the pandemic. No shows are even in the foreseeable future or the five-seeable, six-seeable future. It ain't happening for a year. And my whole point of all that bragging was just to say I miss doing live shows with my boys, because that was all the cool shit I got to do in my life. I might have to say the Dirt Nasty music stuff was the most fun, because you're doing a live show and making people smile and they're coming out and rocking out with you, and it's magical. It's a magical moment. Beardo, Andre Legacy, Riff Raff, Mickey Avalon, Andy Malinagas. We would go do shows and fucking people. It was magic. It was magical. I wish you could capture that feeling in a bottle. It was of all the best things. That's what I miss. Sitting around in Joshua Tree doing nothing. And you're just thinking back like, holy shit, it was fucking cracking. I mean, I went to South Africa, Australia, Bali. We've toured Canada, fucking England, the UK. This shit, when we did the Chili Peppers, we played in soccer stadiums in motherfucking Amsterdam and Poland and Italy. Soccer stadiums. Most of those people obviously were there for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and not 1% was there for us, but we did it. We played, we opened up for the Wu-Tang Clan, Too Short. Like, it's a dream. And now I'm just sitting around 46 years old, like, what happened? Now what? Now what? And even if it ever does recover, am I too old? Am I really want to be rapping at 48 up in the fucking spot? But it's still magical, and I like to make people smile. That's my purpose on this earth, is to make people smile. I genuinely believe it, whether it's this crazy podcast or a Tweaker Rodrigo video or a song. I just want to make people fucking smile, because that's what the world needs. So that's my gift to the world, and I have fun doing it. And that's all that I just talked. Is this thing recording? Is that was all about that I miss doing shows with my boys, and I miss the live shows that you guys used to come out to. And I know I'm getting older too, because a lot of the people hit me up now. They're like, yeah, I used to come back to your shows. I got a wife and three kids now. I'm like, what? That was 12 years ago. I used to come to your show. I'm like, oh, shit. When you ain't got a kid, the years just blend into one long Sunday in L.A. because you don't see a kid. You know, there's not a little human next to you getting bigger and bigger, so you have no perspective. It's more like you see your friend's kids once in a while, like, oh, shit, you grew. Yeah, it's been 7 years, asshole. You haven't come by the house once. So, anyway, this is a freeway rant. Let's see what's on the radio. Satellite radio is great, man. You know what's great about the radio? It's like we've gotten so used to it with our iPhones and you can just DJ yourself and play all your own music that you used to like. Something about a random song coming on the radio and that feeling of like, oh, shit, I love this song, and you're not controlling it. DJ anxiety, I call it. You know, when you're hanging out with people and you got the phone and you got to play some good music, like, fuck, I hope they like this song. Ah, this is too much. I need to switch it. And you end up like, too many options. We need to bring it back, man. We need to bring it back to less. I think I've got this theory just hit me while I was driving. I think this is a big deal. I wonder if anyone else talks about this. Too many options are a root cause of a lot of our social anxiety. Speaking for myself, and I'm sure whether you realize it or not. How often you go to Netflix and spend 30 minutes just scrolling and you don't pick a movie? Too many options, and they're bad options at that. What happened to Netflix? It used to be good, now it's just all shit. Or is it that we get older and adapt, our style gets different, our taste in music and things change? But you know what I'm saying! And what's crazy, this is sober energy right now at 8:30 p.m. on the 10 freeway. This is sober. Imagine, like, that's why I smoked weed for so long, to shut up. You know what I'm learning so many lessons to? I'm reading, I'm listening to the audiobook of The Law of Human Nature by Robert Greene, and I'm a narcissist, and we all are, even you listening. Everybody is a narcissist to a certain degree, and there's different forms of narcissism, and I realize I don't listen. I talk too much, and I don't listen enough, and I don't think that's intelligent, because you need to listen to learn. You got two mouths and one ear. I know what I'm doing. That was a joke. You get what I'm saying, though. On a podcast, it's easy to rant. No, I'm just flambling. I like to just stream of conscious ramble like fucking Tonadello Areola, and shit comes out that makes no sense, and for some reason that's the magic. Like freestyle, baby. I used to come crazy in the 88 Mercedes. I got old ladies. They're going crazy when I bone a baby. Now that could have come off as a bad thing, like I had sex with a baby, but I didn't. A baby could be an adult female human being that's attractive somewhere between a 7 and a 9. Okay? So I could freestyle forever. I roll up in the Subaru interior, orange leather. I might feather my hair. I don't smoke weed and exhale in the air. I just like to be a crispy adult. Not too many things rhyme with that except the cult. I don't believe in cults. All the cult leaders trying to fuck all the beavers. You know, that's another thing about cult. Anyone who's a cult leader or wants to be anything in that position of power is a gnarly narcissist. Because think about how wanting to have all that control. Like, you got to be kind of sick to want to be president. Or, you know, anyone that wants to have that much power, that's a sickness. I stole that from Chris Ryan. He said that on his live pod. Anybody who wants to, like, control other people, that's like some gnarly shit. Think about what you want to do. I don't want power. I feel bad even like at my house when I have a crew of people. I have like 6 guys working that I'm paying to do like pour cement. And I'm like the worst boss ever. I'm like bringing them water and offering if they need anything. And you guys want to, like, I can't even be in the position of like, yeah, they're working for me. Like I could never be a boss. I'm too fucking nice, and that's not me sucking my own dick. That's me insulting myself. It's not good to be too nice. Too much of a people pleaser. It's time to be selfish. It's okay to be selfish. And then ironically, coincidentally, it's the wrong use of ironic. I feel I am selfish. That's why I haven't had kids, is because I'm selfish with my time. Anybody could have a kid. A lot of people regret it. I'm torn. It's a big deal. I froze my sperm at 40 years old and didn't pay the bill 2 years ago. That's the story of my life in a nutshell, and I'm not even kidding. I froze my sperm at 40 to make sure I could have kids one day. In Beverly Hills, and they do a semen analysis, and all of them are totally healthy. So I got 3 ice babies chilling in a cryogenic chamber like Walt Disney. And fucking 2 years ago, I stopped paying the bill. And I was like, now, if that ain't the story of my motherfucking life, I don't know what is. But here's the rest of the story. I called up. There was a credit thing happened where they were looking for me. I wasn't getting the mail. I paid what I owed, fixed the credit, and now I got the ice babies back on deck. So I didn't lose them. They're still there. But that's some shit that I would do. Like, my memory, man, I'm a fucking desert wombat. I feel like unless I'm completely delusional, and even all this is narcissistic. I'm just talking about myself for an hour, but this is what I like. This is what I know. I'm telling you my story, right? I'm telling you what I see. It's out of these Google eyes, you know? Not Google like the computer, like googly, like Google. Is that an onomatopoeia? I'm going to shut up for 7 seconds. How about that? 2, 3. Actually, I didn't shut up. I was counting while I was supposed to shut up. I'm on timeout. I'm putting myself on timeout. All right. Well, I don't know. I guess what else could we fucking talk about? Again, certainly not going to start talking about politics or Trump or Biden. No, I'm not going to talk about that fucking shit. Over it. I'm done. I wish there was a way to delete the news off my app, the news app off my phone. It's like, does anyone know how to do that? DM me, because like one of my addictions is I just open my phone and look at the news and scroll and just want to see, 47 dead and buried off. Only 47? It's not even that many. That's how fucked we are. Oh, 47 killed at a wedding in Nairobi. Oh, fuck. I thought it'd be more than that. Last week there was 125 school shooting. It's like everything's fucked. But at the same time, everything's beautiful. I really believe it. It's both. You can't have the darkness without the light, man. So it's all part of the fucking Tao. the yin and the yang. I just like venting, and I'm leaning into the comedy of being neurotic, and it's really for fun, but there's a lot of truth into what I said, but I lean into it, because that's what we do. You want to make it funny, but the yin and the yang shit is very real. It's the most cliche shit ever, but you know what I'm learning as I get older, and not smarter, but wiser, is that a lot of cliches are true, man. A lot of cliches are true, and sayings. You can't look a sandpiper in the butthole. Yeah. Never rent a Ford truck in Tampa. Don't marry a woman if her name is Gary. These are famous quotes throughout the years that have entered the lexicon. And I'm also trying to work on not saying, life is just a never-ending process of learning and growing, and it don't stop, you know? I wish everybody out there we could all just be more cool with each other and not just Americans, but I just had an incident happen at the gas station, and I'm guilty of it. I'm such a hypocrite. I fucking at the gas station pumping gas, and I see this dude pumping gas in front of me, and my first instinct is, I don't like this guy. Why? I don't know. He just was kind of looking kind of like, I didn't like him, right? For no reason. And I'm waiting for him to say something. He's just kind of his body language, and he's kind of, you know, tough guy, whatever. And then, you know, you're pumping your gas. It's like, you know, a minute and a half, and you're standing there, and he's a few feet away, and he's, like, going in and out of his car. I feel him looking, but I don't say. And then after all the shit I'm thinking, he goes, hey, man, how you doing? And he was, like, the friendliest, nicest guy. I'm like, hey, how are you? And it was like, oh, dude, get out of your head. Why, we're all in this self-defense fight-or-flight mode because we have to survive, because unfortunately that's kind of the fucking shit that's going down right now, is that you gotta be smart and somewhat aware of your surroundings and assume the worst in people. But then occasionally a tough guy will say hi, and he robbed me right after at gunpoint, but he was nice when he did it. So I guess the lesson is, I guess the moral of the story is, don't listen to me. All right? I love you guys.
living in a dream. Nowhere, girl, you stay behind the scenes. Nowhere, girl, you've never gone outside. Nowhere, girl, 'cause you prefer to hide. Every day, every night, in that old familiar light, you're pulling up when I call you. You hold up when I call you.